And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
A perfectly good brain wasted.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, positive talk radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is business-related issues. Each of my guests is discussing a topic from the business world. My first guest is an entrepreneur who's putting a new spin on a traditional sport and then selling it to the public. He's the owner of the Ventura Black Widows Women's Football League. We discuss the rise of women's football and the business behind the sport. My second guest is the erudite and insightful anchor at CNBC's global headquarters in New Jersey. He specializes in foreign markets, in particular Europe. We got a world perspective on global markets for our investor listening audience. My next guest tells of an extraordinary change in business. Leadership is dead and influence is helping to revive it. We'll look at his premise as we examine his latest book, Leadership is Dead. And as always, if you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008. Jeremy Kubicek is the president and CEO of Giant Impact and a founding partner of the Giant Companies, a company that oversees the Chick-fil-A LeaderCast, one of the largest leadership events in the country. And he'll tell us a little bit about that as we get into the interview. He has been growing and leading domestic and international companies for over two decades, companies that value people over processes and integrity above all else. Today, Jeremy leads a global leadership event and training company that has added key new partnerships with Dr. Henry Cloud, who's been a guest on our show, Pat Lencioni, who's also been a guest on our show, Andy Stanley, Mark Sanborn, another guest, and Dr. John Maxwell, yet another guest. Welcome to the show, Jeremy. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much.
Well, it's great to have you on because you're in the company of all guests that we've had on the show, Dr. Henry Cloud, John Maxwell, Mark Sanborn. They've all been guests on the show. So it's about time we finally got to you.
That's right.
Glad to have you. Well, first of all, let's dive right into it. You are the CEO of the Giant Companies, and right now you're doing a big leader cast for Chick-fil-A. Tell us about that, please.
Well, we've got a partnership with Chick-fil-A with a focus on influencing the leadership culture of America. Tomorrow we'll have close to 100,000 people piped in, watching together the live sites in Atlanta, an amazing leadership experience. And the purpose behind it is to show a different style of leadership, a more liberation-empowering style than the traditional dominating, overpowering style. So we're excited about that.
Well, I'd be excited about 100,000 people tuning in. I think that is a great accomplishment, and kudos to you. I think that that is wonderful. But I want to talk a little bit about your new book, Leadership is Dead, how influence is reviving it. And to really understand the book, to understand your management philosophy, I have to understand a little bit more about you. And so it's important to understand your personal story. What led you to change your perception about leadership? Tell us about your near-death experience in Mexico.
Well, I had I grew up as an entrepreneur thinking, you know, the end goal, my desire was to be on Fast Company magazine or on Inc. magazine. I mean, that was really what I was looking for, to say that success was to be successful in the eyes of everyone else. Until I encountered two things, a hurricane and a drunk driver. And those don't mix, and they ran right into me in Cancun, Mexico in 2002. Changed my perspective dramatically in what my priorities are. So when I was able to look at my priorities, all of a sudden maybe my bucket list changed. And the things that I found more important were really other people. And so I quickly, I shifted a paradigm and a strategy for business and said, you know what, my goal is really to serve other people so that they can raise their capacity, be better leaders for other people, not just for themselves.
All right. Well, we'll talk about that and your shift in thinking to service towards others in just a minute. But really, your book kind of chronicles leadership, the historical perspective on leadership and how it's changing. So I guess that's another place for us to start when we talk about this. In what ways is the traditional leadership model, the one that most of the companies that I know about operate under today, in what ways is that out of date?
Well, you think about leadership in general, it was the Industrial Revolution that really warranted this kind of top-down hierarchy because we had managers and we had divisions and so forth. But, you know, for most of us, we don't work for organizations like that anymore. The technology revolution and the people revolution have shifted the way that leadership is done. And then you add the next generation that's coming in. Their philosophy is, they're cynical to the jargon, if you will, of the term leadership. So they focus on influence. So there's a number of factors that are rocking the traditional leadership vote, if you will. But the premise of the book is to say those are things that are actually happening, but really let's talk about our own personal leadership, if it's alive or in fact it's dying or dead.
Well, it's interesting. We're talking to the author, Jeremy Kubitschek, everyone, author of the book, Leadership is Dead. You mentioned the new generation coming in is a little bit more cynical, a little bit more skeptical. I find it interesting that this is the most challenging time in business history because we've got four generations of workers in the workforce today. You've got the traditionals who are just starting to retire right now, the baby boom generation, which will start to retire and continue to retire over the next 10 years, followed by Generation X and the cynical Generation Y that you just referred to. So there's all kinds of change going on in the place. And you mentioned the technology revolution and the people revolution that's going on as well. Expand on what you mean by the people revolution, if you don't mind, Jeremy. What are we seeing there in a people revolution that people maybe are not paying attention to?
Well, I think it's just the fact that there's so much more flexibility around what we do as professions or jobs and where we do them because of technology. So then there are people who, I know dozens of leaders that are working at home for large companies, but they're all decentralized, or the overseas jobs and so forth. So when you look at just the complexity of the leadership structure, it's just different now because of the technologies that have been ushered in, plus the emphasis on social media and on social justice or social causes. It's kind of created a little bit different look at the versus the traditional look of leadership.
All right, so we've been dancing around it, Jeremy. If the old model of leadership is dead, it's out of date, what's going to replace it?
Well, it's really a focus on influence. You see, leadership has always been a vehicle for influence, not the end goal. And so what I'm trying to help people understand is that leadership is influence, but influence is power. It's how you handle the power will dictate how you lead. So if your power is for other people, if you're using it, then you're an empowering leader. If your power is for yourself, then you're an overpowering leader.
Okay.
And I think that's what the next generation has to understand is how they're going to take their power and how they're going to use it. And that's based on a person's intent or their agenda. And if you understand your intent, and you're planning to empower people, then you'll be a liberator. But on the other side, if it's more like the traditional, I'll use a Donald Trump example, his style is to overpower, then he's more of a dominator. And so what I'm trying to bring to attention is the leadership will die when you dominate. It'll come alive when you empower other people.
We're talking to Jeremy Kubitschek, everybody. And Jeremy, as you were going through that answer, all I could think in my head is, oh my gosh, we're back to high school again. Because if influence is leadership, the people who are the most influential, i.e. the most popular, the most charismatic, are the ones that are going to rise up to be leaders. So take us through the seven action steps that you describe in your book to awaken a leader that would prevent this from becoming a popularity contest. The first is focus on service to others. What do you mean by that?
Well, if you're going to influence someone, then you've got to be for them. So the way that I've set it up this day is there's really three things that happen. When we meet someone, there is a first impression that occurs. And inside that first impression, yeah, there's a question that we intuitively ask. Are you for me? Are you against me? Or are you simply for yourself? Now, I don't think we actually think that we ask that question, but we really do. And then we answer it inside the first impression. Oh, he's for himself, or he's against me, or he's for me. So by being for someone is an opportunity for your leadership to come alive. And so I have seven action steps. It just says, let's talk about, you know, how to give trust to become trustworthy, how to be credible, not just smart. So those are the key tenets that are in the book.
All right, well, let's dive into them. And one of that I found very interesting was pursue relationships before opportunities. Now, tell me about that, and how is that a major shift in leadership as we go into the next part of the 21st century?
Well, I think everyone would say relationships are important. But I think that most American business culture is say, yeah, relationships is important if it gets me to the opportunity, if it gets me to the deal or the transaction. We're so transaction-oriented in this culture. So what I'm saying is, no, actually flip it. Put relationship first. Serve the relationship. Serve the partnership. And then the opportunities will come. In fact, they'll even be bigger than you even anticipated before. My partnership with Chick-fil-A. They are an unbelievable organization because they put the relationship and the goal of the relationship first. Then we work on the opportunities together. So what happens is if there's ever a mess up in something that we do, well, we've got grace for each other. We give room for patience for one another because the relationship is so strong.
All right. We're talking to Jeremy Kubitschek, everyone. And, Jeremy, I want to challenge you, if I can, a little bit on that, about relationships, because there are two types of relationships. There are the close-knit relationships that you might have with family and friends, and then there are some transactional relationships. Like I go into the grocery store, I put some groceries on the counter, I give them some money, I get to take the groceries home. That's very transactional. Now, I want to have a relationship with my grocery checker because it makes the experience more pleasant, but at the end of the day, that's just very transactional. Some might say your Chick-fil-A relationship is transactional in some ways because you provide them leadership training and in exchange they give you money and so forth and so on. So differentiate between transactional relationships and the more meaningful business relationships.
Well, I'm not suggesting that we need to have relationships with everyone we meet. What I am saying, it's a mindset and a lifestyle based on your intent. If you're going around in your everyday life with the intent to build your status, your wealth, it's all about you, then you're going to emit this transactional odor, if you will. And it's kind of a self-absorbed self-preservation. And what I'm suggesting is the other way around. If you have an intent to serve people or be for people, then the opportunities will come out of the relationships themselves.
All right, Jeremy. I love that. Transactional odor, or shortened to TO for short. I like that. We're talking to Jeremy Kubitschek, everybody, author of the book Leadership is Dead, How Influence is Reviving It. And another one of your seven action steps that I found interesting was become significant through your memorable positive impact of others. And when I read that, the first person that came to mind, surprisingly enough, was General George Patton during World War II. Now, the men that served underneath him found him to be memorable. They would walk through walls for him, and yet he was memorable probably not because in a positive way, but in a very negative way, particularly when you think about him striking that one soldier in the field hospital. So talk to me about becoming significant through memorable but positive transactions or relationships.
Well, what I found in the hook of the book, if you will, is that the leaders who want to be significant have overcome their fear or their self-preservation. So what I share with them is self-preservation is what is it that you're afraid of losing? And when someone can overcome their fear or at least realize, hey, I'm afraid of losing this, but it's okay, like power, authority, position, benefit, so on and so forth, who are so focused on being successful, what I'm suggesting is if you're so focused on being significant, then you'll be memorable to people because you're helping people with their needs and their moments or the seasons that they have needs. All of a sudden, you gain something that is so valuable. It's called goodwill. And when you get the goodwill of people, it comes back around in 6 months, a year, 5 years, 10 years, because you're constantly serving and becoming more significant rather than just being focused on yourself. So I've got numerous people in my life who are significant because they served me in that need that I'd had at that moment. And that plants a memory that I ties that person directly to that success.
All right, Jeremy. Let me ask you to help make this concept a little bit more concrete for my listeners. Give us some examples of people that we might know who really embody becoming significant through memorable positive impact on others.
Joel Manby. Joel, you may have seen him on Undercover Boss. He's the CEO of Hirsch & Family Entertainment. An amazing guy. He was a former president of Saab, was one of the starters of Saturn cars when they first came out.
Yeah.
He had a breakthrough in his life. He was working, he was seeking success. And the way he says it is, I had all my do goals. I was trying to do this, do that. And he switched to his be goal, saying, I want to be like this. So what they did is him and the founders, they put together for their Hirsch and Family Entertainment, they had 25 amusement park companies or venues. They put together a foundation for their employees. It was a matching foundation. So for anyone who had any physical or financial needs could tap into this foundation. And unbelievable success of this guy focusing on being significant for his employees. So you talk about somebody who will fight for you. I've interviewed his employees, and it's unbelievable because of how significant he's been in their life.
Wow. Well, we're running out of time. We're going to have to leave it there, Jeremy. If people are interested by what you say, they want to learn more about you, learn more about the book, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
Yeah, www.leadershipisdead.com.
Leadershipisdead.com.
And on that, they'll have free resources available for them as well.
Oh, that is great. We've been talking to Jeremy Kubitschek, author of the book Leadership is Dead, How Influence is Reviving It. Thank you so much for being our guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thank you, sir.
Take care.